So, you wanna grab those, or you need it in the sermon? So, this kind of came from my reading and a particular part of a parable, but the main point, talk about this, is you wanna have a teachable heart for God's truth to produce fruit. And I know a lot of you probably love stories. At the time you're young, you've heard stories from your parents. In fact, I'm still hearing stories from my parents. I know when we were having a 50th wedding anniversary in Chicago, I heard things about what my parents I never knew before. Stories about my mom sneaking out the window, my dad was, some other guy in the parlor or whatever. You know, I was like, what? You know, it blows your mind away. I didn't give permission to share this, but Amy's parents were at the lake. And I was just saying that Amy's father has, you know, been a superintendent for years and advised a lot of people and helped get someone elected not too long ago. But there was a time when somebody looked at him and said, I have no idea how you fit into high school and you will flunk out of college. And so it's interesting to hear that story. Jesus liked to tell stories and call parables, but he didn't just tell stories to entertain people, get people's attention. He told the parables because he wanted to change lives. And an old definition of parable is it's an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And parables tell stories about something that we see every day, help us understand a spiritual truth that we can't see with our eyes. So when Jesus taught his day, he taught about things that people were familiar with, people would know and regularly, readily recognize. If you're teaching parables today, they'd probably be different because our culture is different. There might be fewer stories about farming and more about computers or technology. But the parable we're gonna read today is about, it's about planting seeds. And some of you might be familiar with it. Most of the people that Jesus was speaking to were farmers. They also understood about plants and seeds. And, they all grew their own fruits and vegetables. And not all of us, many of us in this room know about planting seeds from, farming or gardening or being involved in the farmer's market. So just in case you don't, there's just a brief synopsis of how a seed grows into a plant. In fact, you can go ahead and play that. You can kind of watch while I'm describing. All seeds contain nutrients and energy inside of a hard protective coating. First, the seed is buried in the ground, and when the seed is good, soft, warm soil, it sends out little nutrients that, roots out that drink up the nutrients in the soil, the roots start to, it gives the teeny tiny plant more energy, gets enough energy to start growing, and a tiny stalk starts to reach up out of the ground, the sunshine on the stalk, the nutrients going into the roots from the rain and the soil, more roots grow and the plant begins to thrive, and that's how seeds become plants. Now I want to read together, where we see this being quoted in the Bible. We're looking at Matthew chapter 13. We spend a lot of time there. If anybody wants to turn there, I guess we'll just do this a little bit different. I'm going to turn to Matthew 13, and then first one there, give me some eye contact. I wouldn't mind reading. Oh, you got your third place ribbon still. All right.
I pulled out the wrong thing. I meant to pull this up to make it
simple. Okay. So, Alex, could you read verses 1 through 9?
That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil, but sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear.
Okay, so he's hearing tonight, ears, let him hear. So this is what he's talking about. So the farmer goes out, he's got a bunch of seeds, and he's putting them on the ground, and they're falling on different places. The first place it falls is on a path. You see a worn footpath, or, you know, maybe with two tracks. When kids come over to the E-Zone, there's a worn path outside that goes from the parking lot over to here. And the soil gets really packed down, and it's hard for the seed to sink in, and it's easy for animals, birds to come by and just pick it up and take them off. He said there's others that fall in rocky soil. You can see when you come in outside, there's all these rocks lining the edge of the building. And you know, every once in a while, you might see a little flower or something poking out of there, but it's hard for the rocky soil, as we saw in the video, you know, as the roots shoot down, but the rocks will block that. And so it's hard for hard for them to survive because the roots can't go deep, and you know, when the sun comes up, they get scorched or you know, when they come, they're easy to pull out. So that was the second part, is in the rocky places, because there's not a lot of dirt there. There's not a lot of soil there for the roots to go down into. And other seeds fell among the thorns. So the thorns grew up and crowded out the plants, choked out the plants. How many of you ever had to pull weeds? Pull weed. Okay. All right. What is the main thing when you're pulling out a weed? What do you have to make sure you get? Yeah, you gotta make sure you get the root. Just pull the top off. It's no good. So you gotta get the roots out. And if you don't pull the roots out, the weeds are gonna grow back. So weeds get really strong and forceful, and they'll take over the good plants. And the strong roots of the weeds so eat up the nutrients of the soil, and the plants are left with nothing. So the plants will barely grow at all. They won't produce the fruit that they're supposed to. And then that's it. Finally, the other seed fell on good soil, produced a crop of 160, 30 times more than planted. And farmers know just what type of soil is needed for their crops. They'll add the right kind of fertilizer, and vitamins and nutrients and stuff into the soil so it'll grow. And healthy plants can give them good fruits and vegetables. And if it's done right, you know, just a handful of, you know, of seeds, you know, like the packet I have up here can produce. Drum roll, please. Boom. Can we go to the next slide? That's okay. You know, a handful of seeds can produce a whole bushel full of fruits and vegetables. So and then Jesus went on after that. Hopefully you still got your thumb in where we were reading. Went on from that in Matthew 13 to talk about what the parable meant. This is all stuff that I explained that all of you probably understood already, and the people that were hearing it understood, you know, if you've ever been involved in farming or planting a garden. But let's pick up from there. I need another reader. Mary? Verses 18 to 23.
Listen to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word at once, receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown.
Okay, so Jesus said the same seed put in different conditions produce no crop or some crop or a great amount of crop. And so the seed was the same every place, but the condition of the soil was different. And this might seem like a strange story for Jesus to tell, but again, he would use what was familiar to people, and they were familiar with farming. They knew a lot about dirt and soil. So he's talking to them using words and pictures that they can understand. Jesus wasn't teaching them something new about farming. This is a lesson about farming. They already knew this. He was using what they already understood about farming to teach them something that they didn't know or didn't understand about the kingdom of God. Just like he would use things that they already understood about fishing to introduce them to something they didn't know about the kingdom of God, or something they didn't know about construction or building, and capstones and cornerstones, to teach them something they didn't know about the kingdom of God. And if it was, you know, here today, you teach them something that, Maddie, what's something that you're real familiar with that you're into when you're hot? Okay, sports, so softball, right? Okay, so if Jesus is talking to Maddie, he might be talking to her about softball, something she's familiar with, to help her to understand that she didn't understand about the kingdom of God. Or maybe for you it's Star Wars or something, you know, make that analogy. So this is what Jesus is saying to people. So the seed that is sown is the gospel, that's the good news about Jesus. And the soils are the different parts of the people that are receiving the message, making a choice about the message. And the conditions of the person's heart is being compared to the conditions of the different types of soil that the seed is in. So if the seed stands for the truth of Jesus, the word of God, and the soil is the hearts of the people, what does it mean to scatter? What do you think it means to scatter the seed on the soil? Anybody have a guess on that? Anybody have a guess? I don't want to raise my hand because I'm afraid they might get slightly off on what I've got written on my paper. Okay. Yeah. A lot more head nod than that. You know, it's someone hears the truth, hears the gospel through teaching, through reading, through, you know, they hear the gospel, the message. So let's look at the four different soils. So first, we talked about the hard path. I think we've got a. Okay, talk about the hard path. And some of the seed fell on a path, and the birds came and ate up. And some people heard your truth, like hard paths, they don't let it sink into their hearts. I didn't hand this out ahead of time, but if you want to, I think it's on your bulletin notes, you go scratch it down. Zechariah 7:12 says, "They made their hearts as hard as flint." There we go. "And did not listen to the law or the words that the Lord Almighty had sent by His Spirit through the earlier prophets." So their hearts were hard. And it says, and when that happens, soon Satan will take away the truth. Sometimes verbs are used as a picture of Satan in the Bible. It says, "People not receive and respond to the word with faith, their opportunity to be stolen by the evil one." So the hardened heart, it's yeah. What's that mean? Front of you, but you know, it's, let's see, you know, my heart's crossed, like, yeah, I'm here, but I'm, you know.
I'm just cold.
No, I know you're just cold. I know. It's
chilly in here.
Yeah, it is. You know, and by the way, if you're here today, I think this happens with kids sometimes. Like, why didn't you choose? Mom and dad brought me to church. And this isn't maybe where I choose to be. They choose to bring you for a reason. The same way they choose to have you educated in school or homeschool, or they choose to feed you things that would be good for you instead of things that you might want to eat 24/7, chocolate Pop-Tarts or, you know, other things. They want you to grow up, to grow up strong, to grow up healthy. There's a reason for that. And like in the past, can we go back? You know, like in the past, you can have, you know, people here getting totally connected and getting something out, and the seed is growing in their life and producing fruit. But here, you can have somebody listen to the same message and there's nothing when the hearts get hardened. Okay, so that's the first one. That's the hard path. Then it talked about the rocky places. This is when I was going through my reading. This is the part that really struck me that I wanted to talk about. It says, some of the seed fell onto rocky places. So these people hear the message with great joy, but like seeds on rocky soil, they don't let it take root. They're happy to hear about Jesus and his great love, but they don't let it sink into their hearts. Like on the outside, they can really be enthusiastic and just, you know, this is great. But inwardly, they don't carefully consider it. Right? There are huge crowds that follow Jesus. There's a lot of people that follow Jesus. But there are only a few who are his true disciples. And when these people face pressure or bad circumstances, they quickly forgot about God's word. And it's a true believer who follows Jesus no matter what. And some of the people that are rocky soil, maybe under the misunderstanding that God is going to take away all their problems. That God's just going to make everything all sunshine and roses. And then when problems come, they fall away. His word never promises life is going to be easy. It actually promises something a lot better. It promises that he will be with us in our problems. It promises that all things work together for good, to become godly or to bring glory to God. So when we don't go deep into the teachings of God, our faith becomes shallow. And just like when you have shallow soil or little soil, there are problems. So spending time with God's word gives us deep soil so we can be more deeply rooted in our faith. And then when persecution comes, we don't fall away, because it's all about not what we see, but what we don't see. It's all about the expectations in the next, about the roots. Right? It's about what kind of roots are we putting down. Kind of like an iceberg. It's like what's happening below the surface is much larger and even more important than what's happening above the surface. You know, there was a storm several years ago, and it got really windy, and I remember, I think it was over on Every Road, there's huge trees over there, just gigantic trees that just got blown down. You looked at them on the side, like, there's ginormous trees, but hardly any roots there. And so they blew over. And those of you who have done weeding or really tried to pull out something bigger, like, the boys and I involved a couple times with pulling bushes out at our place. And we start, and like, this is coming out. And then we're trying to dig, and then eventually, like, pull a few chains and the lawnmower up to it, and really trying to, you know, pull it. And when something's really got roots, it just looks like a little bush. But when they've really got roots, they're really solid in there. And to have good roots, you need to have filled up soil. You need to have a soil that can accept and those roots. And we're going to talk about that even more in a minute. Let me go to the next two real quick. Next slide says other seeds fell among the thorns. So some people hear God's word and start to grow and bear fruit, but they soon become worried about the problems of daily living. If I only had more money, if I only had more things, if I only had more experiences, if I, you know, stressed out about things that may be important but not urgent, they become more important than God in our life. And those wrong beliefs take up all the person's time and energy, just like weeds steal up all the nutrients from the good plants. When that happens, you don't focus on living for God, so we don't produce spiritual fruit. You know, each of these cases we're talking about in the path and the rocky places and the thorns, there's nothing wrong with the seed. There's nothing wrong with what's put into the ground, what's planted. You know, the problem is the soil. The person who hears the word of God has to trust God to deliver him from his worries and greed so he can grow in God's word. And then finally, the poor soil, then we have the good soil, right? Other fell on good soil, produced a crop 160, 30 times more than planted. And it's great to know that some of the seed falls on the good soil. It represents people who heard God's word and believed it. They put their trust in Jesus. They heard the message of the kingdom, and the seed took root. But just like when you place seeds in actual ground, The kingdom grows sometimes and slowly. It's not that rapidly. It's like, it's not like the time-lapse video that we showed, you know, just a little bit. True growth takes time. And sometimes when we plant seeds, we see different things that actually grow, right? Some trees will produce fruit, some plants produce vegetables, some produce lots of fruit, some produce a little bit of fruit. But even the soil that produces a small crop is good. There's lots of different seeds out there. Of course, it's hard to tell the difference of what something will grow to be. In fact, I'm gonna test this out with one of my kids here. All right, let's see. Mr. Caesar, what do you think this is going to grow? Any idea? Take a guess. What do you think that would be? Sunflower? It's a good guess. It's actually lettuce. Lettuce. Too easy to see it fall on the back there. All right. Let's try a different one. That's not gonna grow. Pumpkin, good job. All right, let's see here. Soil just right, which is really helpful for growing actual seeds and plants. But how do you test the soil of your heart? Not a county government office for that. But the God, the Bible addresses it. Jesus gives us the answer. We can look at some of the fruit in our lives. Teachable, faith-filled hearts, like good soil, will produce spiritual fruit. And the fruit that comes from the Holy Spirit is that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. The ability to forgive, the ability to help with healing, have compassion, to love the truth. When the fruit of sharing God's word with others. So the test for good heart soil is looking to see if there are any of these things in your life. And if it is, you know that God's word has taken root in your heart. You believe the truth of Jesus, and your beliefs guide your actions. So if you trust in Jesus, the Spirit lives in you. And interesting, the plant, when it's growing, it doesn't decide what kind of fruit or when to bear fruit. It just happens. The same way, we can't decide when we're going to bear fruit. The fruit comes naturally when we remain connected to the vine. It was a great testimony from Jake a couple weeks ago. I mean, it was all about staying connected to the vine and not knowing when that fruit was going to come to pass or when and how God was going to work through it. Like Jesus said in John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If anyone remains joined to me and I to him, he will bear a lot of fruit. You can't do anything without me. So we have to stay connected to Jesus, because without him, we can't bear any fruit. And we are responsible to make the fruit. It kind of takes the pressure off. We're just responsible to keep the soil in good condition. So we do gardens. We vent at our old house. Like every other year, we kind of have an idea to do a garden. And my job is never planting. It's always this. It's always just getting everything ready. It's just, you know, using the rototiller, getting the ground worked up, and make sure, like, when out and got the minutes of a bunch of, I don't know, fertilizer. Mingling, compost, you know, come out, what? Manure. That's a better term for it, isn't it? Manure. And you know, then you go to that end, you make sure the soil is good. And so, you know, and the boys kind of take care of planting and but for me, you know, it's just the responsibility of getting the soil in good condition. That is our job, but God is the soil. And of course there's a lot of things we can water and fertilize our hearts, you know, reading God's word. I mean, we'll pray, listening to God, listening to the good teaching here from mainly Jesus. Jesus is not only his purpose of life, he's also the living water. And of course, good soil, another thing, you know, preparing the soil, the water soil, you have a lot of rocks. Bad things come up, those have to be taken out. You know, how can we keep the rocks and weeds out of the soil of our heart? There's a lot of things we don't want to plant in our heart that are against God. And we kind of know that our parts of those things are kind of bad TV shows or movies or books or video games or stuff we shouldn't, you know, be involved with. You know, because we come to church, and that's a good way to plant seed in our life. And it's a good way, you know, when you think of it like a garden, if we spend the rest of our week throwing rocks and planting weeds in our spiritual garden, we're going to have big trouble. So we talked about three times of heart soil that don't bear any kind of spiritual fruit. And we don't share the truth that's deep down in our hearts. Instead of good fruit, our life gets filled with worry and fear and greed and frustration. We think more about ourselves than we think about God. If that sounds like your life, there's only one way to make a change. Jesus said, John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's an opportunity when you've done that soil assessment of your heart to tell the Lord that your heart has not been good soil. Ask him to plow up the hard places. And replace them with good, soft heart will be a perfect place for your fruit to take root and grow. road. But God promised us in Ezekiel 36, 26. He said, I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart, and give you a tender, responsive heart. And if that's where you find yourself today, I hope that you will do that today. I hope that you will spiritually unfold your heart and thank God that I will be able to move the rocky places in my life to come good soil. You know, just 45 seconds on. You know, we can also see ourselves as the sower of the story, right? We can also see ourselves as you begin to share the truth of Jesus with others. You're going to see these four different reactions. Some people will, it's good soil, and you know, they'll accept the truth. It's going to grow deep roots. They'll bear much fruit. But a lot of times, it's, you know, like the other soils as well. God wants everyone to follow him, but each person has a free choice whether to accept the truth. But remember, we're not responsible for making seeds grow. You're just asked to spread the seed. So it's always right to pray for God to soften the hearts and prepare the soil of those that you're going to speak to. But I want to go back to you. If you need your heart softened, no matter how long you have held God at arm's length, no matter how much you felt like, oh, my spiritual life has been dead, or my soil has been ruined by things in the past, I'm going to share with them. So we had to get rid of it. I mean, we had like our season, the growing season's done. You got the garden, and it's all growing off of weeds. And so the biggest thing I can think of to get rid of it was the burning. And it wasn't burning as fast as I thought it was burning. So I added things, yeah, right, things to the fire that I guess aren't good for growing things later on. Maybe it permanently damaged our growing spot. Maybe I have, I don't know. Maybe you feel like that. Maybe you feel like I've done something that's permanently damaged where God controlled things in my life. When we were at Honduras, with a couple of mission trips there, one of the things that just struck me was driving down the road and there's these fence posts, right? They put fence posts in the ground, and yeah, Andrew was remembering this. And of course, they're just, you know, dead logs that they put in the ground. The soil in Honduras and Costa Rica is so, I think of the picture, it's so rich with nutrients. It's so much life in the soil that it just, and you can see those are fence posts. It just grows. You know, even these things that were dead are now alive. It's there's so much life in the soil. God can do so much abundantly more in your life. No matter what point you're starting at, or no matter what path, whether it's in a hard path, or a rocky path, a thorn-filled soil, God can work miracles in your life. I started good. You want to have a teachable heart with God's truth. To do that, we need to have good soil. Create rocks below and thorns above, not hard ground, but ready to accept, ready to change. When even the Bible doesn't match my own personal beliefs and thoughts, you know, this is the seed, but it's also the road to. It's also the weed killer. It's also you know, the fertilizer. It's all of us. God's word you're comfortable with. And it's also where you find out what kind of truth God has for us. What kind of passion, what role we're going to play in this. And, you know, I'm not going to crank up the road solar this morning. I'm not going to get into that. I just smashed my hair like last week. But if you do have your Bible or one to get into the row, you just grab it, hold it, press it, but you can hold your Bible. And, you know, what I want to pray about is God rototilling, preparing the soil in our hearts so that when we do hear, we do pray that those truths of God can sink down deep in the world. I'm asking to do something. I have no idea what it's going to be like. I'm asking to do this. And I'm not going to think of what it's like, and then just use the soft pages. We all went through our Bibles together. Fun. God wants us to kind of flip through it. Alright. Now I need to do that while I'm praying. Okay? So you have to try and, you know, I know some people just like, you can't pray with my eyes open, so, you know, you can do it with your eyes closed. But, you guys continue to do that, and I'll pray. Heavenly Father, help us to create good soil in our hearts. God, through your word, till up the ground and make you marvelous. Remove the rock. Break up the paths. Till the weed up the weeds by the roots. Help us to till deeply so that we can be rooted deeply in your word. The carol is your name. Amen. Oh, you stop. We have the worship team come.